Okay, I thought that in commemoration of Tu Bishvat, we'll have a shiur as a refresher of how to take Trumas and Maestras and Orla. Since it's not Shemitah anymore and people are planting, and these halachas we haven't learned in a long time, and I've gotten a lot of questions about them, so I guess I'll speak mostly to the tape recorder, and hopefully those who need the information will get it through that way, and whoever's here who needs it will, okay. The Trumas and Maestras apply to all things that grow here in Eretz Yisrael, fruit, vegetables, grain, grapes, olives, and so on. Whether it's from the Torah or rabbinic pashtus, today everything is only rabbinic because most Jews don't live in Eretz Yisrael, and it could be for other reasons. And even in the time when Trumas and Maestras were be'ikr from the Torah, according to most opinions, only grapes, olives, and the five kinds of grain are chayiv and trumas and maestras from the Torah, and all other things are rabbinic. The major matanos of trumas and maestras are truma gedola. The truma gedola, under normal circumstances, would go to a kohen, and you would have to take off either 40, 50, or 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. Somebody who was generous took off 1/40th, somebody who was an average person took off 1/50th, and somebody who was stingy took off 1/60th. Bisman hazeh, where we don't give the truma to a kohen, since no kohen can prove that he's a kohen, so we just, but even though we don't give it to the kohen, there's two separate mitzvahs. There's one to separate the truma, and that permits or begins to permit the rest of the food to be eaten. If you don't separate the truma, then the food remains tevel and it's also to eat. There's a chiyuv misa, misa bidei shamayim, of eating tevel. But once you take off the truma and the other matanos, it becomes permissible to eat, and you do with the matanos what you're supposed to do. So that has to be separated. Then there's a mitzvah of giving it to the kohen. That mitzvah we don't fulfill because we can tell the kohen, prove you're a kohen, I'll give it to you. So what do? We basically destroy it, but in a respectable way. So we wrap it up in a, what's it called, in something, and throw it in the garbage. Okay, but don't throw it in the garbage directly. So that's truma gedola bisman hazeh. We don't take off a 40th, 50th, or 60th. We take off a mashu. A small amount. Don't ask the question. You're just going to confuse people. Yeah, save the questions for the end. Okay, we take off a small amount. Okay, that's truma gedola. We'll see in 1 second how exactly it's done. But the amount of truma gedola is a mashu, any amount. Then comes what's it called... Maisa Rishon. Maisa Rishon is a tenth of the crap you have to take off, and that goes to the Levi. Same thing. We don't give it to a Levi. Most people don't give it to Levium because a Levi can't prove that he's a Levi. So we separate a tenth, but anyone's allowed to eat Maisa Rishon. So you don't have to get rid of it. You can eat it. Right? And the fact that the Levi is the one who should be getting it, no Levi can prove he's a Levi, so you want the mice to prove you're a Levi. If not, it's edible by everyone. You can eat it. From the mice Rishon, however, the Levi is supposed to take off a tenth of that, which is 1/100th, right, roughly. It's not exactly because he already took off a little bit of the truma. So it's 1/100th of what was left after you took off the truma. But we'll, for practicals, we'll just call it 1/100th. 1/100th of the... of the total is Meiser, Trumas Meiser. That goes to the Kohen, and that can only be eaten by a Kohen. If a Levi or a regular Israel eats it, he's also Osir, Osir. So somehow that has to be separated. So not only, and we're not giving it to the Levi, so the Levi's not going to separate it, we have to separate it ourselves. So we take off a tenth. From that tenth, we take a tenth of that, which is 1/100th of the whole crop, the whole thing that we're taking off on, and that has to be disposed of. That you can't eat. So that we could give it to a Kohen, but we basically dispose of it. So that also is put in together with the thing that's wrapped and thrown away. Then there's Maaser Sheni. That's in the first year and second year of the Shemitah cycle, and the third year and fourth year of the Shemitah cycle. The fourth year and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. It's Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, normally, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you separated a second tenth, and that was a tenth of what's left after all of that, and you had to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Or you could redeem it, take the money to Yerushalayim, and buy food and eat it in Yerushalayim. But basically, that which was generated by the Maaser Sheni had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, Bizman Hazeh, we don't bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat it. You can't eat Maaser Sheni. Therefore, it has to also be disposed of. Or you can redeem the Maaser Sheni on a Shavah Pruta, no matter how much it's worth. Since today, anyway, we're not going to eat it. So we redeem it on a Shavah Pruta. A Shavah Pruta is approximately about 5 agurot. And when it's redeemed, and we'll see that there's halachas of what you can redeem it, what kind of coin, then the coin is eventually disposed of. And you can use a coin, let's say a shekel coin, 20 times to redeem Maaser Sheni, each time with a pruta. And eventually, when the coin is filled up, it has to be destroyed. And we'll discuss how you destroy that. We'll discuss a better way of doing it without having to worry about coins. No question. What? Why solution what? This year?
No, it's every year.
Every year. Okay, so now is what's it called? So that's Maaser Sheni. And in the off years, the third year of the Shemitah cycle, and the sixth year, instead of Maaser Sheni, we have Maaser Oni. And Maaser Oni is given to an Oni. Right, that's separated, a tenth, and that an Oni can prove he's an Oni, so you give it to the Oni. Okay, you may not be able to prove you're a Kohen or a Levi, but you can prove you're an Oni. So the Oni gets the Maaser Oni, and what exactly the parameters of who is poor enough to take Maaser Oni, I don't know if we'll discuss now, because we have two more years to go till Maaser Oni, and maybe at the outset of that year we'll discuss it more in detail, what to do. But for now, we'll suffice with Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni and Truma, and Truma's Maaser. So what do you do? First of all, most things that you buy in the store, even if you buy it from a place, vegetables we're talking about now, that you buy it in a store that does not have a reliable hashgacha, you can take off Trumas and Maasers. You can't assume that for sure Trumas and Maasers weren't taken off. Maybe it was. It's a doubt. So we take it off without a bracha. We're sure that no Trumas and Maasers were ever taken off, and the thing is liable to Trumas and Maasers, you have to make a bracha before you take off Trumas and Maasers. Right? Lahafer is Trumas and Maasers. But if it's a doubt, and again, if you buy it in a place where even if there's no hashgacha, and we're talking again about vegetables, because fruits you can't buy in a place where there's no hashgacha because there's problems with orla. But vegetables, which the problem is only whether they took off trumas and maestras, you can take it off yourself, and you don't do it with a bracha. Because in many places, the trumas and maestras is taken off already in the wholesale market, and especially in Yerushalayim, there's good hashgacha pretty much on the wholesale market, and therefore it's not more than a soft. You don't make any brachas. Just do this without a bracha. Now, how do you make these separations? So let's say you have Yerokos, Peiros, okay? Before we go to the actual thing, one more thing. That's what I do with Tu B'Shvat. You can't take off Trumas and Maasers from one year on another. Things that are from this year, you have to take off this year, even if the Trumas and Maasers are the same. Obviously, you can't take off from the third year on the second year because different Maaser. But even from the first year on the second year, or second year on the first year, each year is by itself. What is the line of demarcation that separates the year is for most things, for vegetables, for grain, is Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei, separates the year. For grain, anything that grew one-third of its growth in the present year has the present year Maaser. Anything that didn't grow one-third of its growth in this year, but in the next year, the year that it grew one-third of its growth, its initial growth, that's the year that the Maaser goes after. That's for grain. For vegetables, it depends when it is plucked, when it's harvested, or more specifically, when it's ready to harvest and it doesn't grow anymore. It's completely finished in the ground. That year is the year of its Maaser. So whenever vegetables are harvested or ready to harvest, which is usually very close together, that's the year that determines which year of Maaser it is. Fruit, the Rosh Hashanah for fruit is Tu B'Shvat. That's Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah, Lilanos. Not that the trees are judged on then, or they say Unisana Tokef, or that doesn't, it means it's the Rosh Hashanah that demarcates, for what we're talking about now, the year of Trumas and Maisers for fruit. Anything that had Chanota, which means one-third of its total growth, took place before Tu B'Shvat, then its Trumas and Maisers is from that year. If it didn't grow one-third of its growth till after Tu B'Shvat, then Trumas and Maaser is for that coming year, the year after Tu B'Shvat.
How do you measure that?
What?
How do you measure that?
How do you measure it? Usually you can know how big the thing is going to be, how long it takes to reach its full growth, and you divide that up to a third of the time, and that's the... That is called Chanota. Chanota is Shlish Gidula. That's how... It's not just when it appears on the tree, it's a third of its total growth. That's called Chanota. In any case, so once you've determined that you're taking Trumas and Maaseres from that year's crop on that year's crop, so you get, let's say you bring home, apples, okay? And these are not things that have Kedusha Shvias. Things that have no Kedusha Shvias. Kedusha Shvias is no Trumas and Maaseres. The things that have no Kedusha Shvias. So you have 100 apples, okay? So what you do is the following. You separate from that 100 a little bit more than 1/100th, meaning one apple plus a little bit more, okay? And obviously everything else will be the same proportionately, except it's easier to do it with 100 apples. But you never have 100 apples, so it's... Take one apple plus a little bit more, okay? If you have 10 apples, then you take a little bit more than 1/10th of an apple, okay? And you put that aside, separate. And you make the following declaration, and this should be done verbally, not in your mind. You should say it outright, okay? And this is l'chatchila. There's a shorter way of doing this, but this is the proper way to do it, l'chatchila. If you have apples and oranges and a million other things, right, you want to do it all at once, you can do it. Take one, a little bit more than 1/100th of each thing, put it separate, and when you make the declaration, you say, my declaration should take effect on each thing separately. The apples for the apples, the oranges for the oranges, and so on.
Different types of apples?
What? Different kinds of apples. If they're all apples, you can take from one on the other. The,
vegetables. Vegetables.
Same thing, what, two vegetables? Also, same thing, different vegetables. You have string beans, and you have, tomatoes. Then, take it separate,
can you
separate
it. Vegetables together.
Now, you can't do string beans on tomatoes. You can do it all together, but each thing for each separate thing.
Fruits and vegetables.
Oh, it's fruits and vegetables, same thing. Let's say you have 100 apples, 100 tomatoes, right, 100 oranges and 100 onions, okay? So now you take a little bit more than 1/100th of each different kind, put it separate, okay, in front of you. And then you say the following. The little bit more than 1/100th that is in the separated amount, I declare it truma. Now you have 1/100th, a little bit more than the 1/100th, that's truma. Whatever it is, it's fine. You know, you took a little bit more than a hundredth, and that little bit more becomes truma. Okay? And so that's truma. That you've now separated the truma. You don't have to do anything, just declare it. I declare that what's more than 1/100th of the total amount that I've separated each thing by itself, onions for onions, tomatoes for tomatoes, apples for apples, is declared truma. Okay. Now, you say the second thing. The hundredth that's left in that separated part, plus 9 portions equal to that, which is 9 1/100ths, which altogether makes 1/10th, right? And the other 9 are in the fruit that you didn't separate. It's in the apples, it's in the what's it called, 99% of apples that's left, the 99% of onions that's left. So that 100%, that 1/100th, which is left in the separated thing, plus another 9, and here you have to specify where it is. So you say on the south side of the fruit, okay, becomes my sarishon. I declare that my sarishon. So now you have exactly 1/10. You don't have to separate it, just declaring it. You have exactly 1/10 separated as my sarishon. 9 of that 1/10 is mixed in with the peiros you're going to eat, and 1/10 of that 1/10 is in the separated part. Now you say that 1/10, okay, that 1/10 of the 1/10, the 100th of the whole total, which I separated before, now I declare to be Trumas Meiser. So now you have separated Truma and Trumas Meiser separated. You have Meiser Rishon on the south side of the fruit, which you're going to be able to eat anyway because everybody's allowed to eat that, and you should give it to the Levi, but Levi can't get it because he can't prove he's a Levi. Now, all you have left to do is separate the Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni in this year. So you say, and the Meiser Sheni, 1/10 of the total of the separated, of the, what's it called, of the fruit, I'm now declaring Meiser Sheni, and that's on the north side of the fruit. And now you have to redeem that Meiser Sheni, wherever it is, on a coin. So you take the coin that you have, and we'll see in one second how to do that, and you say the Kiddush of Meiser Sheni, which is on the fruit, should be transferred to this coin, and then all the fruit now becomes edible. Because part of it's Meiser Rishon, which is edible because it's you're allowed to eat it. The Meiser Sheni has been redeemed, so it now is edible, and everything else is the regular fruit. You can eat it. The only thing you can't eat is the 1/100th that you separated, plus that little bit more. That has to be disposed of by wrapping it up and throwing it in the garbage. That is the way to do it. Now, the coin that you can't just take any coin. The coin that you use has to, what's called, be a pruta chamura. First of all, it has to be a shava pruta. So it could be a shekel coin, it could be a 10 agurot coin. But that coin had to have had at least the shava pruta of vadai tevel, of real tevel, it had to be used to redeem a shava pruta of real tevel the first time. It doesn't have the power to redeem it if it's only a suffix, if it's not real tevel, and if it's less than a shava pruta. So you had to have had at some point have something that you know Trumas and Maestris wasn't taken from, which is vadai liable to Trumas and Maestris, and the Trumas and Maestris were worth a shava pruta, at least 5 agurot. So it couldn't be that you took from your garden, you know, a few things that weren't worth, enough that what you took off is worth 5 agurot. It had to be a tremendous amount to begin with. That the shava pruta was, the Trumas and Maestris was worth a shava pruta. The Meiser Sheni was worth a shava pruta.
If you're
going
to buy an apple and cost like 2.5 shekels for an apple or whatever.
What?
If you buy an apple today.
Yeah, so 1/10 of that is what? 25 agurot. Could be. Okay. 2.5 shekel for an apple? One apple? I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. But in any case, if it has to be something for sure, Meiser and Trumas Meiser would say, if you buy it in the store already, we said it's a suffix. Not for sure that it needs.
Well,
right?
Redeeming 100.
What?
Are we only redeeming 100?
You're not redeeming the Meiser Sheni, which is 1/10 of the total. The In any case, so therefore, you could get a proof to chamura. You could use somebody else's proof to chamura. But today, they made it easy for us. And there is a Karen Hamaisris that Rav Efrati is the head of. And you pay them a certain amount of money per year. And they hold coins for you. And you can then say, I'm redeeming it on the coin that's being held for me by the Karen Hamaisris. And that's the easiest way to do it. And I suggest that everybody get a membership in the Karen HaMaisris if you know that you're going to have things that you have to take up to Mr. Meister. If you just buy your stuff in the supermarket and you don't have any things that you buy that are at least even doubtful whether they have Trumas and Meisters, then you don't have to do this. Or you're not a brisker who takes up Trumas and Meisters even from things with good Heshgashgachas, right, just to be machmer. But if none of those things apply to you, then you don't have to have membership in this. But if you're going to sometimes have things that need Trumas and Meisters taken off of, either because you grow it in your garden, or because you buy vegetables from places that don't have good Hashgacha, and you're going to take off your own Trumas and Meisters, then you should have a minui in the Karen HaMaisris. And you say, the coin that I have, I redeem things on that, and then the fruit is mutter, and the only thing you have to get rid of is the 1/100th plus that extra little bit, wrap it up and throw it away. That is Trumas and Meisters. Okay, any questions on this? Yeah.
Is it that the Kohen has to be a Kohen in order to eat the Trumas Gedolah?
Yeah, if a Kohen is not a Kohen and he eats it, he's Chayv Misa.
So if a Kohen knows that he's a Kohen?
How does he know? Because his father was a Kohen. Yeah, but how do you not know for sure? Today
there's only
some people have. It's not, still not Vade. It's, what's it called? It's closer. But we don't have the kind of testimony on Kohanim that makes it a Vade. It's only Cheskas Kohanim we have today. What? Right, they're Tomei anyway, but if they're Tomei, they could use it as fuel. They could feed it to their animals. That's what some people do. They give the Truma to Kohanim. They don't make a big bone over the fact that he can't prove he's a Kohen. He doesn't eat it, right? But he can use it for fuel, or he can use it to feed his animals. And that's, some places do that. Mishakim, with a lot of, what's it called, Trumas and Maestras, right? We're talking about tons of produce. That's what usually they do. They give it to Kohanim to be eaten by the animals.
And it turns out he's not really a Kohen.
What?
And it turns out he's not really a Kohen.
If he's not really, for that, to give it to the animal is, we're so mechan the chazaka. The, yeah. Can a moshav shitufi, probably according to the rules of that, no, because they lose money. I would imagine that they don't allow that. What they say is like this. Usually, if I asked Rav Efrati, he told me you could use somebody else's coin one time, twice, but you can't have a lot of people getting together and, you know, cheating us out of their minuyim by sharing a coin. So moshav shitufi, surely not. He didn't say it like that. I just interpreted
that. Is a coin worth a certain amount of money and you have to keep track of
what? Yeah, no, they keep track of you. They keep track of coins and constantly change them. And they figured out about how long it takes for a coin to be used up. And they always have coins available that they don't have that specific coin for you. There's like a backup. So, and every once in a while, based on statistics, they get rid of these coins. Or what they do is they redeem the bigger coin on a smaller coin.
How do we do that?
How do they redeem it?
What?
How do we do that?
How do you do what?
If I have a coin, I want to redeem it.
Okay, let's say you used a 5-shekel coin. So you can use it 100 times. And you use it 100 times, it's filled up now. Okay? Now you can take that 5-shekel coin and redeem it on a 10 agurot coin. Okay? All the kedushin in that 5 goes into the 10 agurot. The 10 agurot coin now is filled up. So you have to destroy it. And the 5 agurot coin, now you could use again.
What
5 shekel coin, I mean, yeah. What?
Did it say something when you do?
Yeah. All the kedusha that is in this 5 shekel coin should transfer to the 10 agurot coin.
You have to hold them together so they get
it. No. Yes. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, in those
cards
or in the siddur, it always says, you know, you say what you say, you know, the makrish.
Right.
And then it says make a bracha. But how do you make the bracha after you've already done it?
No, you make the bracha as you're being mafreshit, right?
Well, you can't say both of them.
No, it's true. Because the hafrasha is not when you actually separate that little bit more than 100. Because you didn't do anything yet. The hafrasha is when you make the declaration.
Right.
And you make the bracha before you make the declaration.
As opposed to what the Siddurim or the cards usually say, I think.
I don't know what the cards say.
Be mafresh it this way, and now say bracha.
Mishlama means before you do all of this, this is what you have to do. I guess it has to be clear like that. The bracha comes before.
How does one pull a coin? Can Rashi explain how many times do you
not? Yeah, if okay, I'm not sure exactly what the amount is, but it's approximately 5 agurot, a shava pruta. So, if you have a, what, the 5 agurot coin? Yeah, but still shava pruta is 5 agurot. It's not a coin, but it's that's the shava pruta. It doesn't have to be a coin. The so let's say shava pruta is 5 agurot, okay? So, you have to be polda on a shava pruta. If you have a 5 shekel coin, you have 105 agurot in that five shekel coin. Okay? So you can 100 times be polda maaser sheni on that coin. After 100 times, you filled it up. So now it's completely filled up. You can't do use it again. Take that coin and take the kedusha and transfer it to a 10 agurot coin. Okay? Now all the kedusha leaves that 5 shekel coin. Now the 10 agurot coin is filled up. You can't use that for anything. You have to get rid of it. Right, you have to grind it up, right? Destroy it and throw it into the Yam HaMelech, right? That's how to get rid of it.
So for one shekel, you can use it for 20 times.
Right, one shekel 20 times. But it had to originally be pulled there. The first time had to be pulled there, real tevel, not suffix, and that the pigeon was a shava pruta. So you can't just use a coin the first time on something that's a suffix tevel. Won't work.
Does that have to be tevel deraita? What can these
tevel deraita? Tevel even derabana.
There's not a problem destroying government coins.
Destroying for government coins? I think that's only in America. I don't think in Israel. The coins are destroyed to begin with. They're at the... I don't know, I don't think it's an Israeli, I don't think it's only an American law, and I don't think it's really, it's like, you know, the things that say in the pillows, do not remove this thing. I always used to be afraid that they're going to come and get me because I removed it, and I was waiting for the FBI to come and arrest me. I don't think it happened, yeah.
No, I'm still just thinking, just in terms of the Mashal itself, not to shortchange Rabbi Frati, why can't there be a
Meshutav Tikka coin.
Correct, and then everybody who wants can pay in to this entity and into this account, and that way it'll be easier for people in the Moshav to do this. Each person has to go and find this place, write to them.
Call them up and give them your credit card number.
I'll look into it. And just to make it easier for people, or what we could do is just facilitate people, what's it called, being charged by the office, and the office will take care of getting everybody their own pruta instead of making it reshutat. That's also a possibility. Okay.
Why is Maaser Ani only 2 years out of every 7? Don't the Ani need...
Because there's mitzvah tzedakah also. Right? I have, if you look in Outlooks and Insights on Parshas Kisavo, there's an answer to that question. The question is, l'chora, shouldn't you give the Ani 2 out of the 3 years? And it should be like this. The first year, give to the Ani. Second year, give to the Ani. The third year, 2 years, you gave to the Ani, you're a good guy, we'll let you eat it yourself in Yerushalayim. That's the way it should be. Why? The first 2 years, you eat it yourself, and only the third year, you give it to the Ani. So the answer to that question is in Outlooks and Insights. It's a good question, and the answer is just good. Okay. And look it up there. If you don't have the safe, I can tell you where to buy it.
When you redeem from one coin to another, does that, like, let's say a 5 shekel and you put it onto a 10 agurot coin, does that 5 shekel have to have some tevel in that coin? Redeemed in the coin? Or the 10
no.
agurot?
No, just that the first time it had to be pulled the tevel vadai of a shava pruta. After that, you could do anything.
So you could transfer onto an empty coin? Yeah, that's like a coin with no...
Right. Oh, 1 second. No, I hear what you're saying. Could you transfer now, if that coin was used for Vadai Tevel at some point, which it had to be, then, yeah, you can transfer that onto another coin.
No, so, the second coin also has to be Vadai Tevel or not?
No, the second coin is just a coin. It's transferring what's in there to here. Yeah, that you can transfer. Since there was Vade Tevel in that first coin, it can transfer
right.
to the second coin.
But the first time it was done right, then does that have to go the second time to the coin also, or is it something else?
Again.
The second time.
It has to be on a coin. A coin with a tzura, whatever, that's... you can only be Poda Maisa Sheni on a coin that has a minted coin. Not a slug or a piece of metal or something like that.
And how many times could you redeem onto from one coin onto another?
Infinitely. Except until the time for what's it called Vidui Biur Maestras happens, which is in the fourth year Erev Pesach, then you have to get rid of all the coins you have. So you have to redeem them and then get clear them and get rid of the smaller
coins. A coin can't fill up when you're transferring from another coin onto it. If I could take 100 five shekel coins and transfer onto one tenagro coin separately?
Separately. No. The coin fills up.
How does it fill up?
Because I'm taking one shava pruta that fills up. Right.
So
I can redeem onto a shava pruta, but if the smaller coin is only a shava pruta, I can only do it once.
Well, so I could do 100 coins onto 100 five shekel coins onto one five shekel coin. Because that's 100.
Yeah.
Do you move from one currency to the other, like shekels to dollars or pennies?
Lechara, it should be the currency that's usable in that place. And I think even if dollars are usable here, coins are not. You go to try to change in a quarter by the money changer, he won't change a quarter for you. Even a lot of quarters. I think they only change bills, not the...
Okay. Bill, you can't do it.
Huh?
You can't do it on the bill.
No, bills not. Only on coins, minted coins. Okay. Orla. Let's get to that. Orla is... fruit, only fruit, not vegetables, things that grow on a tree. What is considered a tree for this? The following conditions make it a tree. There are exceptions, but this is basically the condition. It's something where the fruit grows on the same limb year after year and doesn't have to be replanted, or like bananas, that it never grows on the same thing. It's another shoot that comes out. Bananas are not considered a tree. Also, the tree has to be higher than 3 tachim off the ground. It can't be like, you know, runners or whatever on the ground in order to be a tree. And it has to have a not flexible bark. Those are basically the three conditions. Whether all of them are necessary or not, the main condition is that the fruit is produced off the same limb year after year. That's the main condition. The other two are sometimes not significant.
Grapes.
Right. Grapes are.
Yeah, but they can grow on the ground.
They can, but the stock of the grape vine is more than 3 tefachim off the ground. Right. Now, orla means the first 3 years that the plant is planted. When you count the planting from, could be if you planted a seed, it counts when you planted the seed. If it's from you planted a sapling, then it depends. Where was it before you transplanted the sapling? Where was that thing planted originally? If it was in a planter, right, and it was connected to the ground, they had a hole in it, and you transported it in a way that you didn't separate it necessarily from the ground except temporarily, and it had you planted it with the earth around the roots, where conceivably it could have lasted in that pot for 3 years, then you count the years from the time it originally was planted. If those conditions don't apply, then you count the 3 years from the time you transplanted it. Okay, if you don't know, the misofik, you have to count it from the time you transplanted it. Now the halakha is like this. How do you calculate these 3 years? They're not 3 years from day to day in most circumstances. If you planted from the time that it started to be considered planted, whenever that is, okay, like we just said, if you planted it more than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, okay, meaning you planted it before the 16th day of Av. You planted it by the 15th day of Av, including the 15th day of Av. Then it has 2 weeks to take root, and 30 days till Rosh Hashanah, it counts as a year. So the first year is already at Aleph Tishrei. That means if this year, Tavshin Samech Tes, before the 15th of Av, you plant a tree, anytime, and including that day, Tavshin Ayin is already, when Rosh Hashanah comes, even though you have 1 month, it's a year. A year is gone. Tavshin Ayin then is the second year. Tavshin Ayin Aleph is the third year. But it remains Orla for anything that grows a third of its growth, okay, the Heschanata before Tu B'Shvat of that next year. So it extends till Tu B'Shvat for anything that grew till that time. Anything that grew a third of its growth before Tu B'Shvat of that next year, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, is still Orla. Anything that begins to grow or grows a third after Tu B'Shvat is already Netter Revai. It's not Orla anymore. Netter Revai, we'll get to what it is. The fourth year is also special. But it's not Orla anymore. But if it grew a third of its growth from Tishrei till Tu B'Shvat of that next year, it's still Orla forever. Even after Tu B'Shvat, it's still Orla. It remains Orla forever. If it grew a third of its growth after Tu B'Shvat, the first initial third of its growth, then it's not Orla anymore. That's if you planted it before Tishrei. What if you planted it less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? Okay, then, in other words, from the 16th day of Av and on, then you don't get a year, because less than 30 days, you don't get a year by Tishrei, and the beginning of the year start the first day of Tishrei, so you lose 30 days. You lose 29 days.
44
days. And you need, what's it called, 14 days to take root, and 30 days after that, before Rosh Hashanah comes. If it's anything less than the 44 days, then you lose that time, and you don't start counting the 3 years till the first day of Tishrei. And now, the 3 years are, the first year then would be Tavshin Ayin, Tavshin Ayin Bey is the second year, Tavshin Ayin Gimel the third year, and what's it called, some say that immediately then, Rosh Hashanah, of Tavshin Ayin Dalet, it's not Orla anymore. You don't have to wait anymore to Tu B'Shvat. Since you didn't benefit that extra, that extra year, you don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. You only have to wait till first of Tishrei. Anything that grew a third before Tishrei is still Orla. Anything that will grow its third after Tishrei is not Orla. There is an opinion that says not like that, that you still have to wait till the next Tu B'Shvat. And a person should be machmer like that. If you planted it after Tishrei, anywhere between Tishrei and what's it called, and Av, in other words, then you have to, you go from year to, from day to day. You figure out when it had 2 weeks of taking root, and from that point on, you count 3 years from day to day, and then it's with the day after, anything that grew a third before that date is still Orla. Anything that grew a third after that date, for instance, you planted it on the 25th day of Kislev, right, with Kovet Chanukah. So you count 14 days, and that's when you start the count, and 3 years later on that day, it's Orla's over for anything that will grow a third of its growth after that.
How can that be? Because that's, if it's in Kislev, it's certainly before Av.
Right, no. So the Av is only if it benefits you. But here the benefit's going to be to count it from the... Right? In other words, if you counting 30 days in, of a year to be a year is one thing. But here, you're going to benefit by doing it day to day than rather than having to, what's it called, to wait till the next Tu B'Shvat.
No, the Rav said before. Because as soon as Rosh Hashanah comes,
right,
you finish the first year, you don't have to go to
right,
the Kislev the next year.
Right.
So you're benefiting anyway.
No, because you're going to have to wait now till Shvat. And in this case, you won't have to wait till Shvat. In other words, if it's in Kislev, let's say the date is Kislev, okay? So now you'll count 3 years from that Kislev. The Orla will be over 3 years later on Chafei Kislev. Whereas if you benefited from the month, right, you're going to have to wait till the next Shvat for it to be Mutter. So you benefited that it's earlier because you're going to finish off Kislev. So where you did it and you benefited that month, then you're going to have to add on the extra time from Tishrei to Shvat, right, is going to be only a benefit if it was at the end of the year, but if it's towards the middle of the year, you're not gonna benefit like that.
Why are we waiting for Shvat?
Because that's a Rosh Hashanah for Peiros Ha'iva.
No, I'm saying if let's say we would count by month, why would we, and we start in Kislev, why would we wait for Shvat? By year.
If you plant it, it took root by the first type Kislev, okay? So now, what are you going to do? It's a tough Shin Samach test, Kislev, okay? So one second. So now you'll have what's it called? You'll have 1 year finished. You won't count now the Rosh Hashanah the 1 year, because you'll benefit like this. You have now, so you didn't have benefit from that one, what's it called, that idea that a month is called a year, okay? It's a little bit less than a year. So you have Kislev Tufshin Ayin is 1 year. Kislev Tufshin Ayin Aleph is 2 years. Kislev Tufshin Ayin Beis is 3 years. And as soon as it gets to Tishrei of what's it called of that year, you're finished. Tishrei of Ayin Gimel will finish off the Orla. On the other hand, if you did the other way, you have Kislev till Tishrei is 1 year. Tishrei to Tishrei is another year. Tishrei to Tishrei is the third year. And now it's not going to be mutter when Tishrei comes in of that next year. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat of that next year. So you lost a few months. This way, if you don't count that year, because anyway you had most of the year, you don't count it as special, you'll be able to be finished by Kislev, not by Shvat. That's a benefit. So if you need that benefit, you're going to count a whole year as a month, then you have to suffer at the end. If you're not counting a whole year, you want to go from day to day, then you'll benefit the other way, three whole years.
So if you plant it, you're not really saving 30 days, but you're saving... You're not saving
a whole year. You're saving a portion of a year, right?
The halacha is that you could do either way, or
no. That's usually what we say. That if any time between Tishrei and Av, you go from day to day. Or Tishrei and Shvat, I guess, would be the day to day. Anytime after Shvat, then you benefit. What's it called? Then you have the benefit. Tishrei to Shvat, go from day to day. Shvat till Tishrei, you go with the counting of this partial year as a year. That would be the difference. What's one more thing? The fourth year is called Netter Ravai. Netter Ravai is that you have to redeem it like Maaser Sheni. Same halacha. Same thing that you redeem Maaser Sheni on, you redeem Netter Ravai, you redeem it on a coin, the fruit is then permissible, and the coin has to be destroyed. That's the din of Netter Ravai.
Is there any significance to the Tu B'Av?
Just that it happens to be a month plus 14 days before Tishrei, which gives time for the taking root and 30 days in the year to be considered a year, because less than 30 days is not considered. It just happens to work out Tu B'Av. I'm sure in Chassidish Sforim there's some connection, but halachically there's nothing special about Tu B'Av in that respect.
Can you tell us which kinds of roots problem of Orla because they're not sold before 3 years because they're not ready?
I could tell you, but I'd have to see the book in front of me that gives those things. Mirtz Hashem, maybe next week we'll speak a little bit more about Orla in percentages or whatever, and Suffolk Orla, and how serious it is to buy fruit from a place where you're not sure, is it a real Suffolk, or is there not too much of a Suffolk, or whatever. That remind me, we'll speak about that, and I'll bring the tables, so I don't know these things in my head. The only person I knew who knew these things in his head was Chaim Jacobs. He remembered every fruit, which was, when I was a child, I told him, he memorized these tables when he took care of the store. I don't remember what the fruit looks like, let alone what the percentage of order is.